Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this first Monday in July, July the 2nd. We want your help this hour as we start off the month with our July open line, when you are the guest and the producer of this program, by suggesting guests and topics you think would make good talk shows for early morning listeners like you. And you can offer feedback and gripes and praise and ask questions, too, about what we do. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, toll-free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. This open line is for what you hear or want to hear on this program from 6 until 9 weekday mornings, not for what you like or don't like about other parts of our program schedule. We will be having our director on for that, Phil Corvo. Phil usually joins us the first Monday of every month in the 8 o'clock hour, but he's on vacation this week, so we're looking forward to his appearance next Monday, July the 9th, in the 8 o'clock hour. So what do you want to hear for this program? And while I'm waiting for calls with your July open lines suggestions or comments, let me take a moment to thank the listener contributors who made generous contributions during our last pledge drive to join Larry Mueller, Gene Faraca, Cheryl Gasser, Randall Davidson, and me for our second annual Cruise of Ideas. We had it this past Saturday. We had a wonderful time, and I hope to be able to join you for a listener event sometime in the future. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Right now, I'm looking forward to your suggestions for topics and guests that you would like to hear on this program during this, the July open line. And our first caller is John in Verona. Hi, John, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'd like to, they're talking about the shortage of oil, and I listen to you guys all the time almost, and they say that 60 miles an hour is a good speed to drive a car, these newer cars. And I don't see why the government hasn't come out, because Carter came out at 55, if your memory, well, maybe you're not that
old. I'm that old, don't worry.
You know, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to get some officers of the law on there to find out about these laws of the road, why they do not enforce your driving laws, because the people that drive anymore are very inconsiderate. They will... Have you noticed on your turn right, they slow down, they don't stop, and I was always told that a red light must stop.
Yeah. So you want to do rules of the road, or you want to lower the speed limit?
Well, something on the mm-hmm. speed limit, but you can't do the whole thing on the speed limit. But if you can get an officer in there where the laws are, where mm-hmm. I never knew you were supposed to look in a rear. I'm 69. And I didn't realize that you're supposed to be looking in the rear mirror every 10 seconds.
Every 10 seconds?
Every 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. No, that was news to me.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a law, but it's probably wise.
Well, it's not a law. It's a mm-hmm. recommendation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right, John. We can certainly try to do something on that. I know there's a new study out that talks about some of the most dangerous roads in the country. Wisconsin has some of them. And we were talking about possibly doing that tomorrow at this time. Possibly. I'm not sure we're going to be able to get it on. And maybe that would be a place where we could talk about how to make the roads less dangerous by following the rules of the road. Might be a way to get about that. Thank you very much for your suggestion. Victor in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
I have no complaints about your program. Never. So I'm satisfied with how things are going. I like your coverage of the Iraq War, because there's always a pro and con. And I, you know, despite the criticism of it, I think your coverage of it, your program coverage of it, is fair.
Mm, well, thank you.
And the other suggestion I have is you had a guest on, I think, last week talking about the high teen pregnancy here in this state. And I like to continue discussion on that, because it's something that could be easily forgotten and swept under the rug, but it's a big, major epidemic problem here in this state, and I'm personally concerned about it.
Well, thank you very much, Victor. We can certainly look into that. We did a program on the high infant mortality rate, especially in Racine County, but that can be in part because of the high teen pregnancy rate. Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We can see what we can do about the teen pregnancy rate in Wisconsin. And what about you? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Looking for your suggestions for guests and topics that you would like to hear on this program. We aren't able to follow up on every single listener suggestion, and we do apologize for that, but it might be a suggestion that another program will take up, or we might take it up at another time when it's more timely or more relevant to issues going on in the news. So, don't be upset if we don't follow up on your suggestion. We do appreciate them, and they will all be put in the mix. We're going to check our weather forecast and then take more of your suggestions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. It's now 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday morning, July the 2nd. We do have a number of programs coming up this week. We have set a number of programs ahead in part because it's the 4th of July holiday this week, and sometimes guests are hard to get a hold of, so we set things up a little earlier than we usually do. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we're going to be talking with a guest who says video games are addictive, and we'll talk about how big a problem that is and what can be done about it tomorrow after 7 o'clock. Tomorrow after 8 o'clock, we talk with the author of 1,000 Places to See Before You Die in Canada and the United States. We've had this author on before. Her first book was about places worldwide. Now she is just focusing in on Canada and the U.S. That's tomorrow after 8 o'clock. Right now we're looking for issues that matter to you, issues you would like to hear discussed on this early morning call-in program, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Rich in Hartford is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like you to have on the two state senators that wrote the law for the safe haven law, and let us know how they feel about the updates recently on how all the negative things that have happened with this law since it started.
Now, this is the law that says that a baby, if a baby is given, is born, the mother apparently doesn't want it, that if she just leaves it at a hospital or in a, on someone's doorstep, she's not going to be prosecuted.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, and so what problems are resulting from the law?
Well, I personally, my son was given up under this law, and for me to get my son back, literally, I had to fight for my own child because my girlfriend had given up our son, and I was in the hospital at the time that she gave him up under this law, and I ended up becoming his foster parent because the state didn't recognize me as his parent until I convinced them that it was a good idea for us to have a paternity test. And then it took me over a year to get a birth certificate with my name on it because they were fighting because the law had taken all my rights away. And any man in the state of Wisconsin that the law literally goes and says, once the woman does this, all your rights are taken away. And there are guys, other guys out there like me who would like to raise their own children, but their rights are literally taken away from them without them having a chance to rebut this.
Yeah, well, all right. Certainly, I'm sure that was an unintended consequence of this law. The law was meant to prevent a distraught mother from actually killing her newborn, which had happened in the past.
Right, but according to the latest statistics around the country, the law has not affected it at all, and they've had several very well-known psychiatrists come out and say that if the woman or the girl is mentally disturbed enough to place her child into a harmful situation, like leaving her child in a garbage can or whatever, she's going to still do it.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the suggestion, Rich, and I hope that you and your son are getting along fine right now.
4 years now. All things right. are going great.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Gene in Springdale. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, and thanks. And a couple of suggestions. One is Peter Irons. And Peter Irons is very involved in civil liberties. He's professor of political science and director of the Earl Warren Bill of Rights Project at the University of California in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his recent books is Jim Crow's Children, which deals with the Brown versus Board of Education.
Well, and that would be very timely.
Court
yeah.
just recently reinterpreting that, I think he would be an extremely good person on it.
Oh, I agree with that recent decision. Sometimes we have a problem with people in California because they don't want to get up 2 hours earlier than Central Time, but we can try.
And he's an excellent speaker. We've heard him on lectures, and he's also written The People's History of the Supreme Court, which is fascinating also. So, good man.
You said you had a couple. Did you have something else?
No, I guess I just thought a couple of things that he's written, but one very good person.
Oh,
Jim
I think,
Crow.
Yeah.
Not Jim Crow.
Yeah, excellent, excellent, excellent suggestion, Gene. Appreciate it very much. And yeah, we'll see what we can do with that. Tony in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just calling to say we should, or you should see if you could put a program on about ethanol and the biofuels industry. And so to say, get an expert on air to clarify any myth from fact or fact from myth about the energy consumption and the strain it puts on the food industry as far as the corn for ethanol. I know I work in the field, so I know quite a bit about it, but I'm not going to quote any facts. And I know lots from when it started as myth and today is a lot different. So it'd be interesting to put that on to clarify some issues that people may have with it for the public.
Yeah, Tony, let me just ask you, though, because we have had programs like this in the past, and there are people who are critics of corn ethanol, but they're okay with yes, right. And so that's the perspective that you're coming from?
Yeah, obviously, as we know, that's a growing problem, carbon monoxide, global warming. I don't think there's anymore. I mean, it's a fact we need to do something about it, and the government needs to step in and give some incentives to get people in these flex fuel and these hybrid cars that, if you look, Brazil is completely independent on oil anymore. They, as of 6 months ago, I believe, they stopped importing any oil.
Right. They use sugar, right? Sugar cane.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They use sugar cane, which the abundance there, I'm not sure. But, they run 95% on ethanol, as we know right now. So, and I think it's something we can do. But, there's people out there know a lot more than I do. I mean, I work and I see it and stuff, but I know some public people and have issues with it, and it'd just be good to clarify any fact.
It's a good topic. We have done various things in the past, but certainly can do more, and we appreciate that suggestion. Next, we go to Mary Ann in Prairie du Chien. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I've been writing for fun for quite a while, and now my friends are starting to encourage me to take it to a new level, and I would really like to hear a guest who could offer some suggestions about how to do that.
To how to become a published author?
Yeah, that's right.
It's pretty hard, I think. I think that's an interesting... I just recently had a book come across my desk that was dealing with that issue, and I wondered if there were enough people in the audience that would want that kind of advice, but I bet you there are. We're all, a lot of us think about maybe writing that great American novel.
Well, we think about it, whether we ever pursue beyond that or not.
Well, Marianne, thank you very much. Maybe I can dust off that book to see if that person can come on to talk about this. I know my brother is someone who's been trying to become a published author for quite some time, and I know from his experience that it's not an easy thing to do. Thank you very much, and we'll see what we can do. Larry in Pembine, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. I would love to hear a further conversation on some expanded railway passenger service out of Chicago, maybe all the way up through Iron Mound, Michigan. I'm just driving right now. I work down in Milwaukee, live up in Pembine, but I noticed the extensive highway new construction they've done from Green Bay north all the way up to Crivis, just to handle the amount of people that come up vacationing and whatever. And it goes back to my own experiences, I guess, as a child taking a train all the way up through the same area here at one point when families didn't have the amount of cars that they have now, of course. But just wondering if we could get maybe some more discussion on that issue, and maybe a railway system up through Madison that could deal with commuters coming into the city to work. I know there's been a lot of discussion about having illegals work doing some of the jobs in the cities and stuff. There's probably a big population in Wisconsin in the rural areas that would, some of these kids would love to take a crack at these jobs, especially during the summer. I'll take my...
All right. We'll see if we can do something about expanding passenger rail in Wisconsin. I'm writing it down here. And, yeah, I wonder if there would be enough traffic or enough passengers who would ride a train from, maybe a line that goes from Madison or Milwaukee up to the Northwoods? We'll see. Thanks for that suggestion. We are taking suggestions for programs that you would like to hear discussed on this program. We ask you to play producer during our open lines to suggest guests and topics that you think would be interesting and important for all of the state to hear about. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Rich and Sullivan is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
That was fast. Good morning.
Good morning.
You were speaking to an earlier caller about being old enough to recall the 55 mile per hour speed limit. And my topic is from 1971. Patrick Lucy was governor then, and he succeeded at merging the university system, that is the flagship campus at Madison, with the Wisconsin State University system. And I'm interested in a historical analysis, particularly from someone who may not be in favor of such patterns of governance that diminish or affect the funding and the quality of a flagship campus like Madison. My personal belief is that without Madison being the preeminent part of the university, that Wisconsin sort of begins imitating states like Arkansas and Alabama. I know the idea was cost containment and control of program distribution and that sort of thing, but duplication, excuse me. But I really do think that we're living at a time now where the university is threatened by politicians who...
Rich, I gotta hold you there because we have news from National Public Radio coming up. Certainly something that we can ponder. I know we will be doing a program somewhat soon on university funding today, not a historical perspective, though. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Monday, July the 2nd, and we are starting off this month with our July open line. We ask you to tell us the issues that matter to you, the guests and topics that you would like to hear on this program, or to hear your feedback, pro or con, or questions you have about this program. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We usually do this about once a month so we can hear from you. And we follow up on some, but not all, of the suggestions that you offer. Some of them may not be appropriate for an hour-long call-in program during this time period anyway. So sometimes we follow up and sometimes we don't, but we always appreciate hearing what's on your mind. Ken in Madison is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Joy. Joey. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering if it would be possible to get in contact with Kevin Phillips.
Yeah, sure.
He used to work for the Republican Party, and like he's most noted for like a book he wrote in 1969 about the future of the Republican majority.
Mm-hmm.
And since he's, you know, very much against the Republican Party and its current swings to the more religious aspects. So I was just wondering if it'd be possible to hear his thoughts on the election cycle.
Okay, yeah, we had him on after his last book was published, but that was some time ago, The Theocracy or American Theocracy. Yeah, yeah. So you just want to hear him talking about the issues on the campaign trail, that to get his comments on that?
Yeah, because in the book he just talks about, you know, the Republican Party, and I kind of like to hear, like, what does he do? Because, like, it's pretty obvious that he doesn't vote Republican, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
All right, thank you very much, Ken. Kevin Phillips, always an interesting guest, and you're right. We don't have to wait for him to publish a book to talk to him. Maybe we can see if he is doing any sorts of commentary on politics today. Laverne in Monroe, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Good
morning.
This is sure great living weather, isn't it?
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes. How's this Frankenstein veto situation going, or is it going to get shoved under the table?
I don't know. We did that program a couple of weeks ago with Fred Risser, having the hearing on that day a couple of weeks ago, and I know that seems to me that it's going to end up on, probably Democrats will go along with this as long as it doesn't take effect during Governor Doyle's term. That's the conventional wisdom.
And another issue is the fastest growing group I've seen on TV are the billionaire group. I think they're growing at 11% increase. And this morning I seen on TV Warren Buffett, he is wealthy. He said actually Bush's tax breaks for the wealthy we don't need. The top person to have breakfast with him gave $650,000.
To have breakfast with who, Warren?
Warren Buffett.
Oh.
So maybe they should have somebody. Should we have a wealth tax, or are we're eliminating the middle class?
Yeah, sure. We can do something on that. And what do you want to see happen with this Frankenstein veto, Laverne?
I think the governor's got too much power. I think if you're going to have the governor that has all the power, just get rid of the assembly and the senators.
Yeah. Thanks, Laverne. We'll be doing our state capitol report, by the way, coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. Every Monday in the 7 o'clock hour, we look at what our state lawmakers have been up to in the previous week and look ahead the week to come. Sean Johnson will be joining us, our state government reporter. The Senate passed its version of the state budget last week, and the Assembly takes it up now. We will also be talking with the Assembly Speaker, Republican Mike Hipsch, after 7:30 this morning. We'll talk about the state budget and universal health care, a new plan by Senate Democrats that was proposed last week and put in the budget that passed. We'll talk with Mike Hipsch and Sean Johnson about that coming up after 7 o'clock. Craig in Green Bay is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
I was calling about there's an author called DeWitt John, and he wrote a book called Civic Environmentalism.
Mm-hmm.
And another author, Barbara Gray, and she wrote a book called Collaborating. And what collaborating is, it's an alternative to command control regulation
mm-hmm.
for environmental issues. And it would really be interesting. What it is it gets everyone together that's involved in an environmental issue, you know, like, say, farmers and environmentalists and all your regulators from the state and federal governments and even citizens. And it gets everyone together, and it's their job to come to a solution, and they have to come to a consensus. And it's pretty, I'm doing a thesis on it here at UW.
Oh, all right. So suggesting having both of those guests on together to talk about collaborating to fix environmental issues?
Well, I was just saying either or. where you could have both, whatever, you know, you guys found to be best. But I was just, you know, saying two people's names because, you know, you never know, one may not be available or
I appreciate both of those suggestions very much. Talking about environmental civics or civic environmental issues and collaborating. Thanks very much for those suggestions. Dave in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I know we don't talk about a lot of sports on Wisconsin Public Radio, but the this NFL pension deal, if you've been following that, the NFL pension fund's got hundreds of millions, billion dollars in it, and it's very hard for older players that played decades ago to get any funding for medical help. And Pat Richter spoke out against it, and he's a former NFL player and Wisconsin Athletic Director, and Jim Bakken and Mike Ditka. And maybe it's not enough for a whole program. It could be fit in with something else, or maybe Larry could do it in 45 minutes. But are you familiar at all with this problem?
Gosh, you know, I am not. And I don't, it's not like I never follow anything in sports, but I'm not familiar with that. No.
Yeah, but you could maybe check in, you know, search engines and check up all about this. But it's, you know, there's like hundreds of millions of dollars in the pension fund.
And for whatever reason,
players, well, they haven't changed the formula. You know, they played before a certain date, and it's just I don't know. Maybe it could be with the sports in general or whatever. I don't know.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's,
yeah, and then maybe you can talk about it at your bigger meeting, and maybe one of the other hosts know more about it, and they'd want to take it or something.
Thank you very much, Dave. That's what we like to do. If for some reason it's not right for one program, we'll share it with another. We appreciate that suggestion. We are looking for your suggestions for the guests and topics that you would like to hear on this program, the issues that matter to you. What issues are in the news now that you want to hear more about on this call-in program? What topics, timely, relevant to you right now, and something you think would be of interest to most of our listeners statewide. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 14 minutes past 7 o'clock, 14 minutes before 7 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. Coming up after 7, as mentioned, it's our State Capitol Report, when we will take a look at the controversial state budget and the future of universal health care. Speaking of health care, Ben Marins, after 5 o'clock this afternoon, will be talking with a guest, the author of a book, Who Killed Health Care? That's coming up with Ben Marins after 5 this afternoon. This hour, for the rest of this hour, we are looking for your suggestions for guests and topics and issues that you would like to hear on this program. It's my July open line, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. You can also take us to task for missing something or spending too much time on something. Or you can compliment or criticize something you've heard in the past month, too. Jim in Ashland is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
With the baby boomers coming up, how about you can do this open line? You can be the expert or, you know, lead it in the right direction about what people are going to do with their retirement when they retire.
Huh, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. And you really don't need a guest, so I guess you can hold it on the back burner until somebody doesn't show up.
What a good idea. What are you going to do when you retire, Jim?
I am retired.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm just enjoying the summer right now, and then when winter comes in January, I'm going to head down to New Mexico. And I don't know if I'm going to find a place down there or rent. I'm going to keep my place here in northern Wisconsin. It's beautiful up here, 3 miles from the lake. Can't beat it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And
there, yeah.
During the summer, I garden for hummingbirds and monarch butterflies, and I suppose do some golf.
Well, it sounds like you've got it made, Jim. I envy you. But, you know, a lot of people have to or want to continue to work, too. And I know Jim Packard or Larry Mueller recently did a program with somebody who talked about how people can retire from their maybe lifelong profession but find some other vocation to take up
right.
Recently. Yeah.
Do you remember the guy that you took his place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's still working here as the co-host of Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Is he semi-retired? Maybe you could get him as a guest to come back and talk about it.
Tom Clark will.
That's it.
Yeah, Tom does not like to be a guest on the radio. I've learned that from experience. But he's retired, but he still does the Zorba Pastor on Your Health. So that's not full time, but he's still working part time. Yeah, thanks a lot, Jim, for that suggestion. Gloria in Platteville, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm glad that you have this opportunity to let people speak on behalf of what they would like to have on the radio. I'd like to talk about or have you have someone about that aspartate, which is that sweetener, and they're saying that can be a cause of MS and cause of lupus disease.
Yeah, that's of course the jury is still out on that. A lot of doctors will say there's no evidence to support
right,
that.
Right, but there's a lot of emails that have come through on that from people from actually their experience. So I'd like to have you maybe have, well, you can have both issues, but there is a lot of emails out there, I guess, and I've heard a lot of research
so maybe you could have that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's.
We'll talk about what is scientific or not, or what concerns are out there or not about the health of artificial sweeteners. Yeah,
right. Because there has been a lot of, I said, emails that have come through and said, "Hey, we've had this experience and we've had this actual, happen."
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
Thanks very much, Gloria. Appreciate that suggestion. Health issues with artificial sweeteners. Frank and Minong, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm very good.
Good. I have two of interest, very controversial interest, actually. The first is the 9/11 truth consideration. Are you aware of that?
Well, we've done a number of programs on people who believe that 9/11 was an inside job. Is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have not heard those programs, so I wasn't aware of that. But I'm glad to hear you've considered it.
Yeah, we've done other programs with others who have said that that's absolutely not the case. So,
yeah,
we've had programs on both sides of that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear the other side as well. The second second question is access of energy from the zero point. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Well, it's very unusual, but there are a number of people who have done extensive research on this, and I just can't help feeling that if you were to make an inquiry as an NPR station, you would probably have them as guests. And essentially what it is I could explain it briefly by saying that one of the guests, Tom Bearden, colonel retired from the U.S. Army who is a physicist, has stated that we exist in a sea of energy. I mean, literally are surrounded by a sea of energy that we cannot detect or we're not aware of. So that energy, which is phenomenal, can be connected to. There are means of doing this, and it's been done several times, quite a few times in the last century. And, of course, it never comes out because it leads to either buyouts by the oil companies or suppression. So that's the story on that. But I myself have not experimented with it, so I can't say that's true, but it's extremely interesting, and I keep finding more and more evidence to indicate that this may be true.
Thank you very much, Frank. We have both of those suggestions down. Bernie in Whitewater, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Mm-hmm. I'd like to suggest a guest called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition that I know was on the show back in 2005, I think it was, a group of current and retired law enforcement professionals who believe that the drug war is very bad public policy. And, there are a lot of anti-drug war groups out there. They're one that I think is especially interesting just because they're in law enforcement, and it's been a while since WPR has had a different point of view on as far as, should we be pursuing this drug war at great cost financially and otherwise. So that's my my main thought. And also, just to point out, I agree with the just prior caller, I'd suggest Barry Zwicker, a guy, Z-W-I-C-K-E-R, as a guest on the 9/11 thing, if you ever do it again. He had written a book called Towers of Deception, and I was thinking of it today because he had a very interesting chapter in the book where he delineates interviews from an ex-British intelligence guy who talked about the IRA and how a lot of the bombings that the IRA, supposedly was responsible for were actually instigated by moles from British intelligence inside the IRA. And, you know, people can take it or leave it, but some very interesting interviews there.
Thank you very much, Bernie. Appreciate both of your suggestions. Yeah, I remember that program. Some police officer was making a cross-country trek on a horse, I believe, speaking out against the war on drugs. And we had him on when he was hoofing it through Wisconsin. What about you? We still have about 5-6 minutes left in the program during this July open line looking for your topics of interest to you. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And those, we'd like to know if you'd like those particular issues discussed on this program. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We have an email from Michael in Phoenix, Arizona. There is one category of topics that you seldom, if ever, cover, the arts in Wisconsin. There must be summer theater festivals or special interest happenings this time of year. Well, yes, there are, and we've done programs on summer festivals, and we have done some programs on arts in Wisconsin, but you must have missed them, Michael, and we can certainly do more. We can maybe even save that one, too, for what are some of the arts festivals in your area. I know that the Lieutenant Governor is also very interested in promoting the arts in Wisconsin, and I believe she would be a possible guest as well. Thank you for your suggestion. Next is Barb in Elk Mound. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm concerned about the illegal gambling in the bars and that they do say that they don't pay off money, but many people are going in the bars and spending lots of money, and they do pay off.
You're talking about those video gaming machines that are supposed to be for fun, but they're really for gambling?
Right. Mm-hmm. And I've called my representative, and I can't remember if it's Cratlow or Cryvac. I can't remember. And I did email him, and I got a response back, but the response was that they're so limited in the Department of Justice, so I emailed them, and I actually did get a phone call from them, and they said it's very hard to shut that down.
Mm-hmm.
They could go in and destroy the motherboards, but there's a lot of legal, and it's just really tough. But then he did direct me to Rich White in Wisconsin, in Eau Claire. He'd be our district attorney, and I have not contacted him.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the suggestion,
okay.
Barb. It is certainly something we could talk about and maybe in a program on gambling in general, too, added on. I'm not sure we can go a whole hour on the video gaming illegally in taverns, but maybe. Thank you very much for that suggestion. By the way, coming up on the 4th of July, this Wednesday, we do have a number of programs booked already. Again, working a little bit ahead because sometimes it's hard to get guests at the last minute on a holiday. We will be talking about puppy mills, or what critics call puppy mills, after 6 o'clock on Wednesday. You may recall hearing a program that we did a week or so ago with the people who wanted dog breeding organizations or individuals to be regulated and licensed by the state because they were concerned that there were too many inhumane things going on in what they call puppy mills. So we had a program saying let's regulate puppy mills about a week or so ago, the other side of puppy mills, Wednesday after 6 o'clock. Next is Joan in Milwaukee. Hi, Joan, you're on the air.
Good morning. I meant to ask you about this on Saturday, but I forgot. We need more on the Great Lakes Water Pact. I know that there was a program on television yesterday in Wisconsin on the Great Lakes legacy, but if you could get the maybe Robert Glennon, who wrote The Water Follies, or the couple that wrote Thirst, Fighting Corporate Theft of Our Water, people think it's a no-brainer. They think, well, why shouldn't Waukesha be able to take water there so close? But the impact of our doing that will go around the world because people halfway around the world will be on that side of the divide and want that water. And a local person you might want to get would be Arlene or Hiroshi Kano from the Dells.
I remember them from that Perrier fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They were in our fight up there.
Mm-hmm. Joan, I really appreciate your suggestions, and we will indeed try to do something on that issue. And I want to thank Joan and the other listeners who participated in the event that Joan and I saw each other at on Saturday. It was our second annual Cruise of Ideas, where supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio joined some of us here at Wisconsin Public Radio for this cruise on Lake Monona. We had a really good time, and I want to thank all of those listeners for their very generous support of Wisconsin Public Radio. I want to thank you for all of your great suggestions. We'll follow up on as many as we can, and we will continue to take your suggestions throughout the month. You don't have to wait for an open line to call one in. You can email them. You can see a place to email them on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.